7 tomorrow. That's the latest from stgeorgenews.com. I'm Carl Lamar.
This show does not come with instructions. Think at your own risk. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. Coming up on the left, we're going to be catching a glimpse of the Grand Canyon. On the right, you can be able to see the Hoover Dam in just a few minutes. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour. Couple little facts here. I'm packing a Colt King Cobra. That's a 357 caliber firearm with a black rubber grip and a 6-inch barrel. Also, the co-pilot is carrying a Kimber custom defense pistol with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a custom gun of that kind, with an alloy frame and bevel treatment on the entire gun. And our chief flight attendant, Roger, has a Ruger Bearcat 22 with a hand-fluted cylinder. All three are capable of piercing body armor at a distance of up to 27 feet, and it can put a hole in human bone and flesh the size of the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, is coming up on the left-hand side of the plane. So just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the flight.
Oh, I love that. So Susan is out today, and I will be doing this hour. And then, of course, Melissa joins me. Remember, we had to switch them, if you're a longtime listener to the show, on Wednesdays because of our time change. So happy to have Melissa join me. Wish Susan to get better. And, of course, it's you and me, kid. We're going to do this. I have so much to share with you. Some scary, some funny scary. I mean, it runs the gamut today. What can I say? It's all over the place. I was noticing in the news today, Diddy, you know, when Mike Lindell from MyPillow said, you know, he was going to now question election fraud, which everybody knows there was election fraud. It's no secret. It's amazing how he got canceled. Did he? Not so much. He just doesn't get invited to, say, one event. Other than that, he's fine. Isn't that interesting how they always protect? Protect. I was just noticing that today. So I have a couple of things for you. First of all, I kind of want to give you, and I want you to weigh in on this if you want to, because I couldn't believe that what I was reading. Actually, it was an interesting statement for sure, and it was all about the fact that that we are okay. I googled this because of something else I was working on. Okay, and all this was a question on WikiHow. Okay, so it should be like really to the point, easy to do. There's a couple of bold physical tells for whether or not you're dating somebody that's a trans. Okay, and that's an easy question, right? So you say, okay, here's the differences between male and female. Here's how you know that the internet is now taken over. Okay, this is WikiHow. First of all, things you should know. Ask yourself why you need to know their gender identity at all, and analyze why biases may hold towards transgender people. Avoid asking your date if they're trans, as this could upset them or offend them. They'll tell you when and if they're ready to disclose their gender identity. Keep in mind, all you're asking is, how can I tell if my date is a man dressed up as a woman or whatnot, okay? Realize you may not know for a long time whether your date is transgender. If ever, try to keep an open mind and enjoy their company in the present moment. Remember to be respectful and courteous at all times. You don't have to date anyone you don't feel comfortable dating, but that doesn't mean you can't treat them kindly. You know, take them to dinner, on a date. You know, you don't need to know whether they're trans. You can just take them out. And then number one was examine your own bias. If you're wondering if your date is trans, you might be harboring negative stereotypes in your mind that are not based on reality. Honey, all I want to know is if the person I'm dating is a man dressed as a woman. Well, it's your negative stereotypical bias standing in the way. Number two, be aware that there are no clear-cut physical signs that you can rely on. That is a lie. That is a total lie. Men's clavicle bones go pretty much straight out and women's kind of arch up. The index finger on a woman is longer than the ring finger. There's so many tells. Are you kidding me? I mean, it was comical. Number three, avoid asking your date if they're transgender. You're not allowed to ask, in other words. And of course, stop worrying and relax. There are many other things to worry about that actually warrant worry, such as protecting yourself against STDs. So, honey, you just go worry about that STD that you're not getting. Because if your date is trans, basically what this is saying is wait for them to tell you. You have absolutely no right to know. Don't ask. Don't look. Don't observe. Don't assess. Nothing. You just go with the flow. I could not believe what I was reading. It was so amazing. Number five, keep an open mind. Six, realize they're not trying to trick you. Yeah, actually they are. If you're sitting there on a date wondering and you can't tell. Number two, notice the difference. Know the difference between sexual orientation and gender identity. Oh, okay. By the way, all you're asking is my date a trans? And understand why a trans person might be afraid to share this information with you. Because you're a total, you have total stereotypes towards gender. And you seem to be the problem, buddy. Yep. And then, of course, let them tell you in their own time. And then figure out how you feel about it for a good long while, like the entire date, before you even bring it up. I just could not believe. Now, I have to tell you, this was on the heels, okay, of understanding, and this was from Susan too, by the way. They have these new cards for people in San Francisco, and they're feel safe cards, okay? They're designed to make you feel safe in an emergency. And the emergency being that you are simply riding the bus train or whatever you're riding there. And they're called crime thwarting intervention cards that need to be seen to be believed. Here is two girls asking for the cards at their local station. Here we go.
Hello, we're two college students who are BART riders.
And safety is really important to us, so we're going to go ask for the bystander intervention cards.
They're going up to the window.
Hello,
now.
Excuse me, will we be able to have some bystander intervention cards, please?
Yeah, sure. Hang on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
So this card over here is for when you're being harassed. It says, you got me. So you'd hand it to somebody else. And it gives them instructions on how they can help you.
If you see someone being harassed, you can also give them this I Got You card, which gives them instructions on the back to find the BART police or call someone or more instructions on how to be safe.
I really appreciate these cards because they gave me a concrete way to deal with an unsafe situation.
So,
I'm not very equipped to deal with them on my own. And so these cards give me a sense of community and a sense of support.
Especially for young college students and for youth, I think these cards are really accessible. It just gives a very easy way to either help someone or to ask for help without having to do much. If everyone has one, then we'll just be able to support each other so much better and feel safer.
Wow. So if you're being harassed, instead of verbally saying something, you show a card and somebody else can show you their card and it says, I got you. I got you. I got you in this situation. Yeah, I feel safer. That's a great remedy. These girls were all over this, and yes, they are handing these things out. And I can't even attach words to this because I'm not quite sure what to say about it. If this is the generation that's coming up, I'm worried. I'm really, really getting worried. You have a card that says, you got me? So if you're being harassed, remember that you get to show your you got me card and the other person's going to show you their card and it's going to say, I got you. Wow, I feel so good. Caller, don't you feel better? I got you, caller.
Mm, No, the Barney Romper Room grew up, and now we have to live in their room? I don't think so.
Oh my gosh.
Just the way I live. And sorry, I don't carry around a card to hand to you, and please don't give me one. And the other thing is, they all talk about their sexuality. But then if I notice it or talk about it, oh, I'm bad.
I know.
What, I have to be, the only one who can is the other ones like them.
Yes, you're exactly right.
If you're a normal, you're not part of their whatever that group is, because they can spot each other. You as a normal can spot them in a group.
Yeah, for sure.
And they can spot each other. And when they do, they're like, okay, now we have group. Now we are better than the rest. And then they start to act. And that's why they want all of us to succumb to them, because they feel superior.
Yeah.
And that's the way this all is. It's a pride thing. It's everybody putting their pride before themselves and the future of whatever it is.
That is the truth. And all the question was, how can I tell if somebody's a trans? You just got told 10 ways that you're the problem. You're not allowed to ask. It's mean if you ask. So just shut up and buy the person dinner.
There was a scene in Crocodile Dundee where he sees, a trans individual in a bar. And it's obvious. And he makes his own inspection. And you know what? That's the way we all ought to just approach it now and just say, hey, I'm sorry, I just Crocodile Dundee'd it. I didn't know I was not supposed to do that.
Isn't that a guy?
Sorry, bro.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. Thank you. Thanks
just
for your call.
Making a junk check, bro.
Oh, my gosh,
Tom,
right?
Making sure before you go any farther.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Oh, my gosh. I'm dying. I had to share these two things with you guys because I couldn't believe it. Like, these things are real. And the BART cards that you get too, I got you. I guess that's supposed to help somebody in a situation. What? Are you kidding me? And I'm sorry, how many times are you harassed truly on a train? And if you're harassed that much, don't go on the train. Oh my gosh. I couldn't believe it. Also, we have a earthquake, Taiwan, right? And I think 9 people killed was the latest. I just want to say, I think they're experimenting on us. I'm going to go with that. I think Maui. I think there's some experimentation going on for things that they would like to do. I really do. And I think they have much more capability to make them very much stronger. And I think we're going to learn a lot more about that in the next few years. I really do. Sad, but true. Scary, but true. I think they're trying stuff out. I really do. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere. Hey, guys, if you love this show, please follow this advice. Go text Birch 989898 and text my name, Kate. You're going to get some free information. It's super important. At least look it over. And I would not be telling you this if I didn't honestly believe this would help you. Okay. They're going to help you with gold-backed security in the money you have out there. Okay. And also, should you unload your money? What should you do? And depending on your age, there's different things. So please go do that. Text 989898 and text my name, Kate. Thanks, you guys.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. All right, Susan is out today. I have Melissa coming up in the next hour, and so glad you're joining me. And of course, I want to hear from you. The call-in number's on the website, katedalyradio.com, where many stream live as well. And of course, I'd love to hear from you. In fact, I had Philip Patrick on from Birch Gold because I wanted to get kind of the take on the gold prices yesterday and what was going on with silver. And he was fantastic. And he was talking about the numbers kind of artificially low for really where gold should be at. And Mel Madison also agreed that gold is going to climb. This would be a good time to get it. And of course, go to Birch Gold. That's where you buy gold and silver. They are amazing. It's who I trust. And also for the information, text 989898 and text my name, Kate. Okay. So just text K-A-T-E. You'll get some free information on how to shore up everything you've got with gold, IRAs, savings, anything that can be wiped out, actually. I know, sad, but it's so true that we need to take some steps right now to do all that we can do. 989898, text my name, Kate, okay? And that's all you have to do. It takes 2 seconds. You've got your phone in your hand. And just get the information. Let me know what you think. And then also, it's free to do that, too. So there's a couple of things. it's like bad news, bad news. I mean, it's kind of horrific, really. What Australia is doing, what the Senate passed. Here is 50 seconds digital ID passing. Here you go.
G'day, everyone. Senator Ralph Abed here. Just want to make a quick little video to let you know that the digital ID bill has passed just now. It was supported by the Greens, the Labor Party, Senator David Vann, Senator David Pocock, Senator Jackie Lambie, and Senator Tammy Tyrrell. So basically everyone except for the Coalition, One Nation, and of course yours truly, the United Australia Party. It is a sad day for freedom today. Like I've always said, this digital ID has the ability to lead towards a social credit system. It has the ability to really weaponize the central bank digital currency, and it's all round a bad bill. I mean, who trusts the government to have that much information that belongs to us in a central place? It is not going to end well. Anyway, we did what we could, but yes, it has passed. Next election, vote one UAP. If we ever have the ability to, we will repeal it.
Wow. So passing, and it's inching. See, it's inching, and I could do a whole show today about what's going on around the world with this, but it's inching closer and closer. And I am telling you, we're gonna see the fallout of this. And I was reading something last night that talked about our social credit score already being formed now. We just don't realize it yet. It's already being given to us with several different kinds of things that we're doing. It's like a soft score. But everything will be in that centrally located situation as far as your money, their money attached to you, like Susan talked about, I think it was last week and or 2 weeks ago. It's literally attached to you. It's not like I give you a dollar and that dollar's been in 5,000 hands and no one knows whose dollar that is or that I gave it to you. The money is then attached to you. And of course, with everything else, with that digital ID, your health, everything, vaccines, shots, I should say, they're not vaccines anymore, or they never really have been, shots. And so everything on this moving forward in Australia, it's a really sad, sad commentary. And I just hope, I'm going to bring up Vietnam in the next little clip, because there's something I want to mention about that, but that kind of goes along with standing up to what's happening right now. But they are really, truly are afraid of we the people. They are afraid that people aren't going along with things. And they're worried. And I think that's why they're taking extra steps right now, trying to get all kinds of things passed. The carbon footprint thing, the carbon footprint tracker. Oh my gosh, here you go.
We're developing, through technology, an ability for consumers to measure their own carbon footprint. What does that mean? That's, where are they traveling? How are they traveling? What are they eating? What are they consuming on the platform? So, individual carbon footprint tracker. Stay tuned. We don't have it operational yet, but this is something that we're working on.
Did you notice how the guy started mooing? I'm just pointing that out.
Stay tuned.
I feel like we should all moo right now. You are officially cattle. Do you know back in 2010, they wrote an article in The Guardian talking about this, talking about the fact that they would do this one day? Everybody thought it was crazy talk. Not so crazy anymore, am I right? Yep, that you would have an individual carbon tracker for all of your carbon you're emitting. Be right back. Kate Daly Show. Hey guys, go to the website, look for FIQ Copper. The Recuperate Copper product is amazing. I've been taking it, and I've got blood tests to prove how well I'm doing since I've been taking it. Also, I take the magnesium with it. That's very important, too. So I also take their magnesium. I ordered their whole C, which I absolutely love, and their cod liver oil. If you need thyroid help, that's a wonderful place to start with thyroid naturally. So they have so many wonderful products, but you have to click on the FIQ ad at the bottom of katedalyradio.com, and I hope you do so because you're going to get terrific prices on these products, and I believe in the delivery system of these products. They are amazing. FIQ is off the hook amazing. Try it out.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. If you want supplements that will absorb into your body, Activate FIQ would be a great choice. There's only so many companies I'd actually order from, to tell you the truth, because I know what they do with their products. And I'm telling you, I take ActivateFIQ.com because I take Activate FIQ, I should say, because the absorption rate is spectacular. And if I'm going to take a supplement, and I don't love taking supplements, to tell you the truth, but if I'm going to take one, and I do, I take Activate FIQ because I know they're going to work. Bottom line, they're going to work. And they're going to do what they say, and they've got natural ingredients, and I love it. So I tell everybody about them off the air, too. The code word is Kate, and you can click on the banner on the bottom of katedalyradio.com as well. So, okay, let's get to this. This was a fascinating one I got to share with you guys, and I want to get your take on it too. So your individual carbon tracker, by the way, now when you buy a new car, they're telling you what the footprint is. When you fly, they're telling you what the footprint is. And back in 2010, remember that they came out and said they were going to do it. They were going to do this tracking of you, and people didn't believe it. I'm so tired of people that throw stones at stuff like that, and they don't understand. They don't understand that they start putting it out in the press, and they get us used to seeing it, and then all of a sudden they're implementing it, just like the guy in the tape. He just said, you know, we're working on it. It's in development. No, it's far past development, but they're going to say that so that you feel a little better about it. But let me just say, it's coming. So let me tell you what's coming in the UK, or what they're doing in the UK, what's on the horizon, I actually should say. Here we go. So we did Australia, here's the UK.
We are going to have tent cities of asylum seekers popping up around the UK.
Well, I think you summed it up beautifully, Patrick, just the huge pressure that we're seeing now on accommodation. And that does seem to be the only answer. But I'm actually a little bit more worried than that, because I think this is all getting very sinister now. We know that we've had people who have been told that their properties are going to be compulsory purchased for asylum seekers. That pretty much tears up private property rights in this country. I was listening to the radio on the way here, and they were talking about a massive problem facing Britain, which was older people living in houses that were, quote, too big for them. Who's got a right to tell you your house is too big for you? You should be allowed to live where you darn well like. And the implication was very clear. These elderly people are taking houses that they shouldn't have. And I fear that's a worry, that there'll be some kind of move to get them out of those houses. We've also had the horrible scenario last week when Matthew Paris, writing in The Times, talked about how euthanasia wouldn't be a bad thing if it encouraged elderly people to hasten their own deaths. So what? We've got to pop our clogs, have we, forcibly, when we're 60, 70, 80, 90, perhaps earlier, if we're not productive people in society, as Matthew Paris said it. So I think the whole thing now is getting really, really sinister and scary. Okay.
You think? Euthanasia. And by the way, that home is just a little too big for you. Doesn't matter that you bought it. Doesn't matter that you've lived in it all of your life or for however long. It could be a year. Doesn't matter. Nope. Basically, it's that house is too big for you. How can one person live there? And they were talking about basically illegals coming in to the country to take those spots in those homes. Scary stuff. You realize that a lot of things that go into these other places that we're talking about, that was the UK, they come here too. Just like with Canada, comes here too. It's really sickening. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Caller, welcome to the show.
Whoop, you're on a...
Yes, there's a common theme on every subject you brought up, and that is you have no individual rights. You have a right to have your no right to have your property or your liberty on all these subjects.
You're right.
Carbon footprint tracking and surveillance. So what's essential in a police state? Surveillance. So they all know there is no global warming. It's all entirely a hoax. And I mean, some of the minions that are carrying this out may not. This is extremely important to realize that they have to track us, and then it's implied in the tracking that they will punish us or harm us, violate our rights, if we have too big of a so-called carbon footprint.
I agree.
The first subject you brought up, the intervention cards, cards. In tribalism or collectivism, you always have to have one group that's being oppressed, and whether they are or not being oppressed means their individual rights are being violated. There is no indication any individual rights of transsexuals, whatever you want to call them, transvestites, whatever, are being violated. But if it's a member of a tribe, you don't look at individual rights. You look at the fact that you can say anything. Remember, Biden had one of them at the White House, and the first thing, one of the things he said to him, how brave he was. The person hadn't done anything to get that quality imposed on him, that or that compliment. He wasn't brave. He was just a member of a tribe. And so it's really important we realize that we turn this all around and say, has anybody's individual rights, inalienable rights, life, liberty, property, all other rights derived from your right to life been violated? And if not, then stop wasting my time with your dangerous collectivism or tribalism, as you can also call it.
Amen. Thank you so much. Great comment. Thank you. So true, too. It truly is. By the way, I wanted to mention before I forget, they asked for valid ID to get into the King Fraud a Lot fundraiser. I know. The irony's not lost on all of you. You need ID to get into a fundraiser, but you don't need it to vote? Okay. So there's that. I just wanted to mention that. Susan had passed that along, and I just was shocked, really shocked. So I'm always a little shocked at stuff. I think I always will be. So I was thinking about Vietnam, because this story popped up in all the hours of reading that I do. And what's funny is people were debating this. But what's interesting is the end of Vietnam. This was one take on the end of Vietnam, how it ended and why. But this is actually written into the, let's say, the Wikipedia, the all of these types of things, which is kind of interesting because they allude to this too. They allude more than they say that this is one of the bigger reasons. But the end of the Vietnam War was influenced by a combination of factors, and it was significant movement of resistance through the U.S. military, especially among the GIs, right? The general infantry. There's a documentary out there. It's called Sir No Sir, the GI Revolt, highlighted this extensive anti-war movement built by the soldiers through organizing in barracks, bases, battlefields, even at the academies like West Point. And I'm not talking about hippie with the sign, no more war. I'm not talking about that. I think there was a general, you know, we understand if we have to go to war amongst these participants, okay, amongst these people. But it was the evolution of why are we here and what are we actually doing here, which was the problem. They weren't just protesting war to protest war. They were actually organizing and creating a resistance movement from within. And I know that there'll be people that go, that's not true. No, it ended for XYZ reasons. This was actually a very, very large reason. This actually was. And when I started researching this and really looking into it, it was amazing what a big reason this was. And they were feeling like they couldn't contain the troops. Like, the troops were the ones that were saying, I'm not going to do this anymore for you guys. I'm not going to do this based on the reason we're here. And based on what we're doing in uniform here. And then, of course, all the other stories, you know, started coming out after this about creating the rain over there and using weapons of, you know, the weather weaponry that we had in our arsenal and things like this coming out. But I thought that this was interesting because it was a groundswell. It was a groundswell of individuals that were saying, I'm not going to participate anymore. And it lent to the ending of the Vietnam War. More so than your average Wikipedia is going to state, of course. But I just thought it was interesting and I wanted to pass that along to you.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. Truthful Radio. I love it. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. And Melissa's coming up next. So appreciate you being tuned in today. Means you care. It really does. Well, all I can say is your soul must be very, very, very important. There's a complete and total battle for it. So it must be that important. You know, I was just talking about Vietnam, and this is kind of interesting, and I don't find that it's talked about very much at all, which it really should be. If I go to, let's say, Wikipedia, and I look at Vietnam War, this is what they actually say: collapsing U.S. morale. And then they say, open refusal to engage in patrols or carry out orders, and disobedience began to emerge. With one notable case of an entire company refusing orders to engage or carry out operations. Unit cohesion began to dissipate and focused on minimizing contact with Viet Cong. A practice, they were doing all kinds of things, sandbagging units ordered to go on patrol, would go into the countryside, find a site out of view from their superiors, and then rest while radioing in false coordinates, unit reports. Yeah. Drug use was on the rise. In fact, when you got to 69 and 70, because of what had been going on, you know, because people talk, 2.5% are the only ones that chose infantry combat positions. In 69 to 70, only 2.5% wanted that role. Yeah. And there's a lot more, too. They were avoiding guerrilla fighters. They were doing search and avoid operations, search and evade. They were doing all kinds of these types of things. And the government then came out with narrowing it down to, I kid you not, lowered morale, lack of motivation, and poor leadership. I kid you not. That's the storyline. But what they did here is really reminiscent of what Harold would talk about from Freedom's Nightmare when he was talking about the people walking around the churches in East Germany. And the optics, you know, were so great as far as that goes, 10,000 people walking around a church, that they couldn't do anything about it. In this particular case, it got to the point where they had to end it because they would not go along with their orders. We talk about this all the time on the show, right? You know, as far as if your job is up for grabs because they're making you do something and they're saying that you have to keep your job, you stand up to it. We've talked about this endlessly for the last, 4 years almost. And what's crucial from this is that we realize that we've done this. We are capable of doing things like this. We're capable of saying no. They could not do anything about a majority of armed forces saying, we're not going to fight. We're not going to do anything. In fact, we're going to fake it. we're going to go out and do this operation where we sort of fake being out in combat because we don't agree with what we're doing over here. We're not going to do this for you, because truly the people that I blame for what's going on are the people that hide behind this country in the name of intelligence and government and do things that the people would never approve of, right? And I love that this ended in a conclusion that it was time to end this, that they had to end this. Don't you think that's amazing? I do. What's interesting was some of the comments this got. I thought it was kind of fascinating because it was, yeah, Bull, that couldn't have happened. It couldn't have happened that way. Well, yeah, it did, actually. And when they went in this documentary, of course, would show more. But the end of the Vietnam War came with our military saying, not doing this. Refusal of orders, desertion, even acts of violence became widespread. And that was against the officers. I'm not promoting that. I'm just saying this is what they did. And the Pentagon warned President Nixon of a potential military collapse. Very interesting. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, this is only part of the whole plan to lose that war intentionally. You know, they militarily, our forces intentionally lost the war. And my one of the sources is the admirals and generals that fought the war for America. They said it, they met during the Vietnam War, and they said we could win this war at any time in 4 months if they allowed us to. Instead, they have rules of engagement and all sorts of other rules, like Nixon was winning the war when he was bombing Haiphong Harbor. That's where all the Soviet and Red Chinese ships would come in with their weapons and so forth. Sure. And then once he started winning, he stopped bombing. There was no reason to do that. But the big point here is how controlling people's beliefs and their values determine a political outcome. Mm-hmm. And let me give one example of how this was done in Afghanistan. At time 9/11 occurred, U.S. taxpayers were paying for textbooks that were given to the children and taught in the schools in Afghanistan, and in the textbooks, this is from the Agency of International Development, part of the State Department, created these textbooks, and it said in there the jihad must be carried out against the unbelievers in America and around the world. And it just stressed that it wasn't this a lecture; it was orders to the kids to kill the non-believers.
Yeah.
And, see how important, very important.
And the last
thing, you know, I was talking about collectivism earlier. Right now, there's been over 13,000, it's probably more like 15,000 children have been murdered because they're in the wrong collective in the Gaza Strip.
Right.
And they won't tell you how much. They always say it's more, and then over 10,000 women, innocent women have been murdered over there. But tell us that's persecuting tribe.
They
don't have individual rights.
Yes.
So we have to look at everything from a perspective of tribalism or collectivism, because that's being used to enslave us.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah. Yes. I want to say, though, that we don't give a lot of attention to this, but it was a pretty bold move for a lot of soldiers to do this, to do what they did in this resistance move. It was bold, because when you think about the military, that's tough. That is tough to do it inside the military, is it not? And so I just want to say that we need to look at those things and go, you know, we have examples in history, we truly do, of resistance right here in America where we say no. Yeah. We need to say no a lot more. Right? No is a full sentence. I like that. Be right back with Melissa. Don't go anywhere. Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com.